Let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, the ruler and the one who super rules the universe. Father, we come now saying thank you for the early rising this morning and allowing us to lay down last night and being able to step out into a brand new day on today. So, Father, we thank you. And, Father, we're calling those that have rights to vote. We're calling them right now, Father. We ask you now that you send your angels of mercy, your angels of peace, and whisper in their ears right now, Father. Let them know the importance of their votes. And Father, not only their votes, but let them know the importance of how good you have been to them. Father, you've been better to them than they've been to themselves. So, Father, we thank you for that. And, Father, as we look around in these United States, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. People are losing their houses. I mean, losing their lives in the synagogue. They're losing their lives in the church, and they're losing their lives in the grocery stores. And senseless. So, Father, we ask you now to heal this land right now. In the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you for the people that thought it was not robbery to come all the way from their distance just to come and share with us what we need to know for ourselves. And Father, we're praying for this community because there's a healing need to take place in this community. And Father, we know that the suppressor is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. But God, we pray that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So Father, we thank you for this program. And Father, we pray that it be a success. We pray that from the beginning of the program to the end of the program, that somebody is in this building would take something back to their home. We pray, God, that you have and receive all the glory. Because, God, it's not about us, but it is all about you. So, Father, we thank you in advance for the victory is already won. In Jesus' most holy name. Let every heart say amen. 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 Now we will have the responsive reading.
Here today.
Amen.
Amen. Responsive reading has to do with a moral revival, and that is what we're looking for today.
Amen.
The ability to be revived. Yes. Amen. We stand at a crucial moment in our nation's history. We have fewer voting rights today than we did 50 years ago. 23 states have passed racist voter suppression laws since 2010. And at least 17 states have targeted Native American and or Alaskan Native voters. Will we be a people who protect the rights of some at the expense of others? Or will we be a moral people who demand justice for all people?
We know what is right, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly, undeserved. We will be a moral people who demand justice for all.
We stand crossroads in our nation's history. Amen. Federal spending on immigration, deportation, and border policies is more than $17 billion, while 340,000 immigrants were removed or deported in 2016. Will we separate families, build walls and detention centers, and continue to scapegoat, punish, and divide? Or will we be dismantled systems of oppression and violence?
We know what is moral, to ensure for all people life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. We will work to dismantle all systems of oppression and violence.
We believe that the power of our government derives from us, the people, for the purpose of providing for the general welfare and protecting the human rights of all. And we know that 13 states with voter suppression laws refuse to expand Medicaid, and that 25 states have laws that preempt cities from passing minimum wage laws. Therefore, we the people will rise up. Say rise up.
Rise up.
And stand for justice and kindness and liberty for all.
We will fight for justice for the 101 million poor and working poor people in our nation, the wealthiest nation in ever to exist. We will shine light.
We denounce any oppression and violence in our communities, especially in our indigenous communities where tribal lands and ancestral burial grounds are being demolished and water is being poisoned. When Native American children have the highest poverty rate of any racial group in the U.S., over 200,000 Native Americans and Alaska Natives lack access to complete plumbing. We know that we must seek justice together.
We believe that when we save one person's life, we save all of humanity. Therefore, we seek justice for the one and for the many. We will show kindness to the one and to the many. We will walk humbly.
When we come to understand that all of life is connected, that my well-being, not just yours, but everybody's well-being, is connected to your well-being, and that my rights are what? Connected to your rights. Only then can we become what? The beloved community that we need to be.
We know that what is right and what is moral, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with one another, and live as a life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all people.
Amen. We know what is right and what is moral.
Thank you. Amen.
I'm going to ask a very important question. I need you to look at your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor.
Hey, neighbor.
I'm going to ask you this question, and I need an answer from you. Have you voted yet?
Yes.
Now, if they mumble, you might need to talk to them when you leave this place. Amen. We will have Brother Bobby Jenkins come forward to give the voters of suppression testimony about this community. Amen.
Good afternoon.
giving honor and praises to whom all praise is due. We certainly are glad to be here today for this special occasion. I want to thank Dr. Green for giving me about 5 minutes to prepare for this. So if I tend to ramble as I normally do, you'll understand. The ask. Just one announcement. There's somebody who's parked right in front of the church, and we need for you to move the car. That's where the bishop will need to park. So if you park right there in front of the church, we'd ask that you move your vehicle either over there or on the side somewhere. Thank you. He asked me to talk about voter suppression for in Randolph County. There's a long history of voter suppression in our county. Of course, it was brought to light recently, first part of August. But to just give you something, to tell you a little something about what has been going on in our community in around 1955, 1956, the Board of Registrars removed about 40 blacks from the voting list and were going to deny them the right to vote. A group of citizens got together and they filed a suit. ACLU at that time provided the attorney. The lead plaintiff on that suit was a teacher, black female, by the name of Miss Charlie Will Thornton. They chose her for a couple of reasons. Number one, she was an educator. She taught in a little country school in Terrell County, even though she was from here. And they thought that by living outside of Randolph County, they wouldn't bother her job. So anyway, long story short, they filed the suit, and of course, with the ACLU's help, they prevailed. Of course, what happened to Miss Charlie Will Thornton, they went to Terrell County and she lost her job. Secondly, they wouldn't hire her anywhere in the area. She had to move, work in Meriwether County for the rest of her tenure. But anyway, that was the Board of Registrars, and that was in 55, 56. The odd thing about it, I learned of that particular case when we were again being represented by the ACLU in the federal courts in Columbus on an issue where, again, the Board of Registrars tried to draw one of our elected officials out of his district without providing hearing. And again, the ACLU represented us, and again, the ACLU prevailed. So now, let's fast forward to August of this year, August the 8th to be precise. I was reading my newspaper, two weeklies, they're about 4 pages apiece. Didn't take much to read. So I was sitting at my table reading the newspaper, and I always read the legal ads. I had my magnifying glass reading the legal ads. And I came across this ad that said, on August the 24th, that would be a meeting to determine whether to close seven or to consolidate seven of our 9 precincts into 2. So I read it a couple of times. I said, wait, this sounds funny. Anyway, there are 9 precincts spread out over the county. And the plan would have consolidated those 9 into 2 precincts, one here in Cuthbert and one in Shelby. And of course, I don't have to tell you the makeup of this county. It's about 60% black. The poverty rate is about 32%, which is twice what the poverty rate is of the state. So closing those precincts immediately came to me that would create a hardship on our people. And we had heard voter suppression, but I said, that looks like voter suppression to me. So we began making calls. I serve as chair of the local Democratic committee. I called my contact, Bobby Fuse, who's the second congressional district chair of the Democratic Party of Georgia. And he made several calls, and I'm thankful that he had all of the contacts to make. We called the voter protection person at DPG, a person who represents the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and the Law in Washington, D.C., ACLU. And with those few calls, it ignited and contacted a network of activists who were just waiting for something to happen like that in Randolph County. They came to our beckoning call. And of course, they had a couple of local meetings, and we were in the national spotlight for a period of about 3 weeks, I guess, from about August the 13th to August the 24th, and since that, and thereafter. The meetings were packed. We had two hearings. They had two hearings on it. And, of course, TV coverage. We made Newsweek, Huffington Post, New York Times, several others, CNN, MSNBC, and all of that. And, of course, and because of all of that, I was one of those who was asked to go sit in on the first day of hearings for the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. So I did get to go to Washington and participate in that. But we're just thankful for all of the support that we had in fighting this issue, both locally, and of course, we can't thank enough all of those people from the various organizations. There were organizations out there that I did not know existed. And they show up at your door, or I get a call, this is so-and-so from that. And I said, oh, yes, whatever. You come on, no problem. So we're just thankful, and it was just reassuring to know that even though it's sad that we still have to have those kinds of organizations out on the battle lines still in this day and time, but it's reassuring to know that there are a lot of organizations, that there are a lot of people just like the ones who are doing this, who are still fighting in their own special way. Different ones have different strategies, but we still have organizations that are on the front line that are still trying to protect a precious right, which is the right to vote. And of course, on August 24th, that was defeated. So our polls are open. All of our polling places are open. On the other hand, though, during this process, we didn't realize that over 112-something polling places have been closed across the state. Didn't realize that they closed them in surrounding counties near us in Webster County, in Quitman County, Clay County, and also in Early County, Miller County, and that's just right around here with us. And they tried to tell us that it was because of money, but that was not the reason. The reason was very simple. And if you look nationwide, since the courts gutted the Voting Rights Act of 1965, a lot of those polling places have been closed. A lot of the other kinds of voter suppression activities have taken place. Because prior to them weakening the Voting Rights Act, those kinds of voting changes had to be pre-cleared with the Justice Department. But now that's no longer the case. All they have to do is whatever the local committee in charge of that, they can make that decision, and it's a done deal. So I would encourage all of you to remain vigilant in terms of looking out for what they're trying to do, because the struggle is real, and sadly, the struggle is not over. Thank you.
Man, he said a vital thing. The struggle is real, but we are curse breakers. We can break the curse. All right. Our next speaker is Jennifer Butler, and I'm going to let her come and introduce herself. But I've read a couple of her books. This is a powerful woman when it comes to talking about civil rights and your rights as a child of the kingdom. And as she come, and in her own way, I just need y'all just give her applause as she come. Come on, clap your hands. Make her feel welcome. Amen.
Well, hi, everybody. I am humbled and honored to stand here today knowing that you all have brought a light to the rest of the country. And so I am just honored to be here in this place and to hear your story and to hear how you are fighting back. I'm the Reverend Jennifer Butler, and I run Faith in Public Life Action Fund. And we are mobilizing voters around the state of Georgia and around Florida to be sure that every person counts, because every person is created in the image of God. I chose today the scripture from Luke chapter 18. It really spoke to me, and I think it'll speak to you. It's the parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow. I think there's some persistent widows in this room. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he refused. But after a while he said to himself, though I neither feared God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps coming to me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what this unrighteous judge says. And will not God grant justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, will the Son of Man find faith when he comes? The word of the Lord. I think I have seen this unjust judge. I think you've seen him too. I've seen this unjust judge and a president who embraces white nationalism and fans the flames of anti-Semitism and anti-immigrant violence. I've seen this judge in the Supreme Court in 2013 when it gutted the Voting Rights Act, which civil rights leaders fought and gave their blood for. I have seen this unjust judge in the courts and politicians that blocked health care expansion by preventing Medicaid from coming to the state. And I've seen it in this county, in a county that would try to close down voting booths. Today, Jesus might start this parable like this. In a certain state, there was a secretary of state who neither feared God nor man. This man sought power and wealth by disenfranchising God's children, by preventing black and brown folks from voting on life and death issues that mattered to their families. He tried to close down voting locations. He intimidated voter registration workers. He purged thousands of black and brown voters from the rolls. He boasted in an ad that he would cart brown-skinned people out of the country in his own pickup truck with a gun. To sum it up, he tried to make America white again. He tried to do it by doing everything in his power to discourage people from being voters. But, says Jesus, there was this widow, and she was in a city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. I see this widow out here today. I see this widow in this congregation. Jesus didn't say there was this powerful person, did he? He did not say it was this wealthy person. He did not say it was this lawyer from the big city. She was a woman who did not have power in that society. She could not be given away in marriage. She could no longer have children. People would look right past her. So this powerless woman goes to the Secretary of State and she says, let my people vote. And he says, no, I will not. But she didn't hear no, did she? Was it because she was hard of hearing? Was it because she was losing her mind and didn't understand? It was because no was the wrong answer. The judge's answer went against her faith. It went against the justice God commands. A faithful person cannot accept injustice. A faithful person knows only one path forward, and that is the path that is narrow and righteous. That is the path that says, bring good news to the poor and freedom to the oppressed, because that's what Jesus tells us to do. Now, the widow could have said, there's nothing I can do. They're going to close down those voting booths, and there is nothing I can do. Nobody's going to listen to me. But no, she kept coming. In fact, the original language, the Greek, actually says that she was like a boxer in the ring. She gave him a right hook, not with her fists, but with her love of justice. And she gave him a left hook and reached up and pulled that voting lever in the voting booth for the right candidate that would bring justice. She may have been small, but she had a powerful advantage, and that advantage was not just her persistence. What would drive her to keep coming, like David against Goliath? You see, she was not just any widow. She knew God, and because she knew God, she knew justice. And because she knew the God of justice, she loved her neighbor, and she did not feel small. She had courage. Finally, the judge said, if I don't do something, I may go down in flames. I may end up in jail. Something might backfire on me. And he granted her justice. Now, the Gospel of Luke also says that the widow is an example of prayer. Now, there are many postures for prayer. Sometimes the politician, something bad happens, like a school shooting, or the KKK neo-Nazis marching in Charlottesville, and they say, let's pray about it. And they do nothing. And that's not prayer. That is hypocrisy. The widow shows them what true prayer looks like. Prayer isn't empty words of comfort. Sometimes it's done by kneeling. Sometimes it's done by standing. But most of all, it's done by pounding, demanding. It is done by being voters together on November 6th. True prayer leads us to pounding on judges' doors, pounding on the Secretary of State's doors, pounding on the door of the person who thinks their vote doesn't matter, pounding on the door of the person who is too afraid to vote. We pray with our hands, we pray with our feet, and we pray with our voices, and by being a community of voters. And the passage concludes, and yet, will the Son of Man find faith when he comes? I say he will. When we pray kneeling, pray standing, pray marching in the streets, pray organizing, pray at the voting booth, and vote. Pray without ceasing, and God will grant us justice. Yeah.
Look at somebody and say, the prayers of the righteous avail as much. They didn't get it. Look at somebody else, say, the prayers of the righteous avail as much. Now, you are righteous. Happen. Okay. I have the privilege of introducing our speaker. Amen. He made me stick my chest out. I mean, ever since this man, I got the word that he was coming this way, I've been looking at every video, seeing him speak and how passionate he is about this. It even took me all the way back to when Martin Luther King was about, there's a passion. And this passion, I believe God only give to the elite. I mean, you got to have a will, and you got to have a zeal, and you got to have a desire to do this type of work, especially in the ministry, encouraging God's people to come out and vote and don't be scared. Yeah. And you know, you got to be willing to die for it. And that's the problem with a lot of folks. They're not willing to die for what they believe. But this man, he's willing to die, and the zeal of God is in him. The passion of God is in him. I mean, Jesus looked good on him. So I'm not going to take up all the space, but I'm just honored just to be able to introduce this mountain of a man, activist, not only a civil rights activist, but he's a preacher man. He's a pastor. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and collect it as a nugget. Put it in your pocket, because from what you have received from tonight, always. Young folks back there too. Y'all give our young folks a hand clap. They're the next other than doctor. Yeah, you wanted to say something? Okay.
Well.
Okay.
Before our spouse of the abolitionist movement. Of the abolitionist movement. They were the leaders of the women's movement. They're the most consistent of black women in the horrifying all of our
for the Digit Moral Revival. We would really appreciate it. We want to get the word out. We want everybody to flock to the polls on Tuesday. So again, if you have your phones, we have some signs back there. Some of you all took pictures with me, which I really appreciate. Made me look better. Again, vote for the Digit Moral Revival. We would really appreciate it. We want to get the word out. We want everybody to flock to the polls on Tuesday. So again, if you have your phones, we have some signs back there. Some of you all took pictures with me, which I really appreciate. Made me look better. Again, vote for Moral Revival. That's the hashtag. Thank you so much.
That's right. And so I'm glad that we're here and glad that we could be here. Gracious God, thank you so much for the privilege of life and liberty and help and hope from and by your Spirit through your Son, Jesus Christ. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and blessed Redeemer. Amen. I don't know so much that I've come to speak to you, but to learn from you, because I'm quite clear. I met a sister out in coming up the stairs who talked about how you all already said to them they weren't shutting down your precincts. And I know where I am. I'm among people who have to fight when the cameras aren't here. You had to fight in the fields. You had to fight in the ballot box. Many of you are the devotees of the civil rights movement, the ones, many of you, whom nobody ever brought a camera down, but you fought for what you believe. So I'm first of all humbled to be in the midst of heroes and sheroes here in Randolph County, here in this place. When Jennifer and I, Reverend Butler and I, talked about doing this tour at your invitation, your pastor's invitation, I was glad that we weren't just going to go to the Atlanta or the Augusta. Nothing wrong with those places. But I recognize Georgia's more than that. And I recognize that so much is going to happen or not happen based on what happens out here in these fields, in these woods, on these back roads in South Georgia. It's that way all over the South. It's not just the urban centers, but it's what happens in places like Randolph County. I know historically it's been rough. I recognize that it was in Albany that they poured acid in the pool. And that was one of the few places that it was so rough they lost there. Dr. King and nonviolence didn't work in Albany because of the strategies that were used against them and the intimidation. And yet you all kept standing. kept training your children, kept voting, kept believing. And in many ways, you can only have a Stacey Adams because of many the work that many of you all did to keep hope alive, to keep faith alive. Because farmers understand you can't just quit because you have a bad crop one year. I heard mother, I'm hearing these sounds that I'm familiar with. You know, I got a little Baptist, a little Pentecostal in me. So I just heard somebody say, Reverend, we're duty bound. See, I know that word. There's some things you're duty bound if you serve the Lord. Now, you're not duty bound if you don't serve the Lord. You can do about what you want to do. But if you serve the Lord, if the Lord is your Lord, then there's some things you have to do. You got to find a way to love your enemy and still critique them. You're duty bound to do that. You got to find a way to get up even after you've been through a hard midnight. You just, when you know the Lord, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. You're duty bound to do that. Just see. When you know the Lord, you can't just have faith. You got to have faith and works. Because faith without works is dead. When you know the Lord, you're duty bound to call Pharaoh Pharaoh and Herod Herod and Caesar Caesar and a lie a lie and the truth the truth. Other folk may not understand it, but when the Lord has got a hold of you, you're duty bound. So I know the language around here. And I might get stirred up after a while. And I want to think about a couple of scriptures. One is Isaiah chapter 10. Because I'm amazed at all these politicians that keep wanting to put their hand on the Bible and claim they know the Lord, but they don't know what's in the book. And there's a scripture that says, you say, Lord, Lord, but your heart is far from me. I heard Franklin Graham this morning on TV saying to vote for people that support Trump because Trump is protecting the Christian way and protecting the courts. And I said, what Christian way? Taking folks' health care, that's not the Christian way. Running folk out of the country and grabbing, snatching children and being mean, that's not the Christian way. So the Bible says, the Christian way, Isaiah 10, says, woe unto those who legislate evil. Yeah. And rob the poor of their rights and make women and children their prey. That's one scripture. Another scripture is Ezekiel 22, where it says down around the 26, 27, 28 verses and following, it says extortion is rife. The poor are being hurt. And the immigrant can find no justice. And then God says, Ezekiel, I look for somebody that would stand in the gap. So that I would not have to destroy the nation. And then Jesus over in Luke, he told us what his political agenda was. You don't have to ask Kemp. You don't even have to ask Stacy what Jesus' political agenda is. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good news to the poor, cover of sight to the blind, healing to the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised and oppressed, and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. That means to welcome people, everybody that other folk want to throw away. That's Jesus' agenda. And that's what he preached on his first sermon. Well, sometimes you have to check folk, because sometimes they start out one way, but they end up another way. But Jesus stayed the same way he started. When he started out, he was talking about the poor and the brokenhearted and the blind and the sick and the prisoner and the unacceptable. When he finished his life on his way up Calgotha's hill, Lord have mercy. He preached another sermon. And he said, look here, I can tell you. Now, you don't have to ask the Democrats. You don't have to ask the Republicans. I can tell you how I'm going to judge America. I can tell you how I'm going to judge every nation. He said, it's simple. When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was sick, did you care? And when I was undocumented, when I was a stranger, when I was a foreigner, did you welcome me in? And he said, you can talk all you want to about how you love me, but inasmuch as you do it to the least of thee, you've done it unto me. It really ain't no way to say you love God and hate people. That's just counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense. And so I came because I want to encourage you all to share a message as we do this work. First of all, I've got sense enough to know, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that somebody's been hurting people in Georgia. And it's gone on far too long. And some of you all decided you won't be silent anymore. Yeah, what's some of the things that are hurting folk in Georgia? Y'all talk to me. What's some of the things? What folk need? Need health care. What else? Job. Huh? What else? Education. Need more guns, right? You all don't need more. Well, see, there's some people running for office. They think you need more guns. Not a lot more love. Now, in Georgia, see, you all already know that division doesn't work. Because some years ago, you had a governor named Lester Maddox. And he loved to flaunt his little gun. And Lester Maddox said that what made America great was discrimination. That was a quote from Lester Maddox. He said, the greatness of America is discrimination. Right? He said he was against health care. He was against programs to uplift the poor. He was against Dr. King. He was against voting rights. He was against public education. He was against integration. He was against drinking. He was against people wearing miniskirts at the Capitol. I don't know where he got that from, but anyway, I didn't know y'all had a problem with that, but he was against all that stuff. But then he loved to sing God Bless America. That was his favorite song, he claimed. God Bless America. But there's a second verse to God Bless America that says, God Bless America, and hopes that America would mend every flaw. They tell me that when he would sing God Bless America, he would cry. But then he would go right out politically and work against the things that God loved. That's sin. And he loved division and discrimination and degradation. So Georgia's already had a governor that will divide you. And it didn't work. You've been around here a little while, Doc. Did it get any better when Maddox was divided? Has it gotten any better when other governors have followed in his footstep divided?
No.
Because the House divided against itself cannot stand. Cannot stand. So division doesn't work. Never had, never will. Jesus said, I have one prayer, that they might be one. Now, your Constitution says division doesn't work. Constitution of these America, United States of America, says that the first thing when you run for office, you put your hand on that Bible, left hand on the Bible, right hand in the air, you swear to uphold. It says to establish justice. The second principle is to ensure domestic tranquility. That means folks getting along with one another. That's all a big word means. And then it says to provide for the common defense. And then it says to promote the general welfare. Now, the Constitution says that's what we're supposed to be about. It doesn't say you're supposed to ensure, establish. It doesn't say you're supposed to establish injustice. It doesn't say you're supposed to ensure division. It doesn't say you're supposed to provide for the defense of a few. And it doesn't say you're supposed to promote the general welfare of the wealthy and those who can afford the health care. That's all contrary, right? So when you have I don't care who it is, any government, male, female, anybody running, and all they can think about doing is telling folk, you need more guns, you need more prayer in the schools, you need more tax cuts for the wealthy, and you need more voter discrimination. That just doesn't fit God's agenda or the Constitution's agenda. It's actually against democracy and against the things of God. And when that is the reality, we have a responsibility to challenge it. We're duty bound. As long as God puts breath in our body, we're duty bound. I want you to know that on our way down here to Randolph County, we got a credible threat. Said, y'all better not go down there. You might go over to Atlanta, but you better not go down there. You better not come down here. But when there's a scripture, Hebrews 10:39, we are not of those who shrink back unto destruction, but we are those who persevere unto the salvation of the soul, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And when you come to a point in worth living, if you're not living and the life full of hate and full of meanness and full of hurting other people, the only for love and live for justice and live for righteousness and live for truth. So we had to come. And the fact that somebody said don't come means you all have power. You have some power down here in Randolph County. It must mean you are important to this election. See? Because, see, they don't want to see black and white poor folk get together. Latino poor folk. Right now in Georgia, 49% of the people in Georgia working division and trying to block health care and block voting rights. That's not going to help those 4.9 million people. And 2 million, if the 2 million black folk that are poor and the 2 million white folk are poor, not even if all of them get together, some of them get together. Right now, in Georgia, that you have millions of people who do not have health care. And you would have the governor and the legislature would accept it over, right? And most of them in raw numbers are white, most of them in terms of black. And they're not dying because God called them home. Now, God will welcome them home. But they're dying because governors and legislators all give them the same health care they get just because they got elected. I was kind of waiting to find out. Because there's a sound in South Georgia. And the Bible said a certain sound. And I knew by and by after a while somebody was going to sound that sound. So I would know, Reverend Butler would know, and Reverend Leah Hendricks Hunt would know that we're in South Georgia, not just any Georgia, South Georgia. South Georgia. And we're thankful to be. That's right. That's right. And so I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad that we're here and glad that we could be here. Gracious God, thank you so much for the privilege of life and liberty and help and hope from and by your Spirit through your Son, Jesus Christ. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and blessed Redeemer. I was kind of waiting to find out, because there's a sound in South Georgia, and the Bible said a certain sound. And I knew by and by after a while somebody was going to sound that sound. So I would know, Reverend Butler would know, and Reverend Leah Hendricks Hunt would know that we're in South Georgia, not just any Georgia, South Georgia. Talking about raising the minimum wage, vote your principles. That's what's on the line. It's not just personality. Everybody else knows. Don't just say vote against Kemp, vote against that. No, tell them why and what's at stake. Tell them if one is suppressing the vote and the other's not suppressing the vote and you want to vote, don't vote for. And if they ask you, well, did you vote for him because you were Democrat or Republican? No, I voted my principle. I voted my value. I voted like my Lord said vote. And that's a different way of seeing it. It's even a different motivation, right? And you can get people that aren't read, that aren't being moved to vote. You go to these places and you say, look at here. Now, you sit home if you want to, but your health care is on the line. Your mama and dad and grandmama died for voting rights, and that's on the line. Your children's public education is on the line. And whether or not you're going to have a wage is on the line. And I've been telling preachers all over the place, I said, you better be telling folk, because it's a sin to ask folk for an offering and then don't fight for them to have a living wage. That's why I like your pastor. How you gonna ask people to tithe and you won't even fight for them to have a living wage? And you won't even fight, push them to help them to have the right to vote. Right? And lastly, let me tell you, I heard, I can't tell y'all where I hear that from, but I heard that in 2016 in Georgia, almost 30% of the registered voters didn't vote. And in 2016, 42% of the folk that could register, because there's some people that aren't registered, that if they registered, they could vote, didn't vote. And if you break down that by race, that means 44% of black voters didn't even vote when Trump was running. Lord help. Huh? But 33% of white people didn't even vote. You have a senator named Isaacson. What his name is? Okay, Isaacson. Now watch this. He won by 500,000 votes. 1.3 million people didn't vote. You didn't hear what I just said. See, at some point, we have to understand our power, right? Currently, there are 1.8 million people covered by Medicaid. But you could have had 726,000 more people covered with just a stroke of the pen. Right down here in Guthrie, it's Cedar Randolph County, am I right? How you say it? All right, because I've been trying to say it all day. I'm from North Carolina, I got a different draw, you know. Y'all gonna help me though. You see, look, I like speaking in tongues. Somebody got to interpret around here, dog. Tell you right now. But 35% of voters in this place didn't vote. And I know you need some health care around here. Know you need some stuff. Yeah. 50% of the folk in Randolph County didn't vote in 2016. Now, if you break that down, 49% of black folk didn't vote. And 39% of white voters didn't vote. And you had an election in Randolph County in 2016 that was decided by 327 votes. And you have 50% of the folk that chose not to vote. You have power. In America, Reverend, I'm gonna try to help, I'm gonna say some things and hope that your folk ain't cussing Baptists, because I was in church one time and I started telling the truth about what, and somebody hollered out and cussed, like Jesus cussed the fig tree. They hollered, and I had to pray for them. Not because it was wrong, because I understood Jesus cussing the fig tree. You know, they ought to have some fruit. You don't go around with a bunch of leaves on. At least. Ain't got no fruit.
At least.
Yeah, you ought to be cussed. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Yeah. In Albany, 53% of registered voters didn't vote. 51.3% of registered black, of eligible black voters did not vote. 39% of white voters. And you had an election in Daughtry County, is that right? Help me, I'm learning. I know the stats, I can't say the name worth a nickel. But I know this, you had an election that was decided by 12,000 votes. While you had almost 49% of the people not vote. Now, in America, here's the part that's going to really kind of make you pray. You got any deacons praying? And mother, y'all pray, mother, because somebody will get hot. Donald Trump lost by 4.5 million votes. 4.5 million more people voted against Donald Trump than voted for him. In the popular vote. Watch this now. That's only happened three times in history, and every time it turned out bad. 1877, Rutherford B. Hayes lost the popular vote, won by the Electoral College. Soon as he got in office, he turned the Supreme Court and the South back over to the slave masters and former slaveholders. George Bush in 2000, them Chads hanging down in Florida, lost the popular vote. And when he got in office, we ended up in Afghanistan, and we've spent $900 billion in a war we can't win and need to be out of. And then Trump. Only three times in history I know of where a person won, didn't win the popular vote. But Trump lost the popular vote by 4.5 million because there was another candidate, about a million people. Hillary had over 3 million votes. The Electoral College is racist. It was founded to stop us. It was a decision made to say, we're going to split black people into three-fifths of a person for the purpose of, the North wanted it so they could get taxes off of the slaves, and the Southern slaveholders wanted it so that they could be counted in order to determine how many seats they would have in the House of Representatives. And that's been around. And that's what got him and Ruther B. Hayes and George Bush elected. Actually, he obtained the Electoral College by only 77,000 votes. Got right quiet. You think about all this mess we're going through, 77,000 votes. A president trying to turn back health care, 77,000 folk. A man that's so mean, even when folk get killed in the synagogues and almost get blown up, former presidents, a vice president, two senators, he goes right back on the campaign trail dividing people. And the guy has a microphone because of 77,000 folks. $2 trillion of tax cuts to the wealthy and the greedy, knowing that it's going to put Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security in trouble. 77,000. We're spending 53 cents of every dollar toward war and only 15 cents of every dollar towards education and health care because of 77,000 votes. Women got to be worried about somebody grabbing on them and getting away with it because of 77,000 votes. We got a Supreme Court nominee that was unqualified before we heard about Dr. Forbes' allegations. Because of 77,000 votes. Embarrassment overseas. We went from Obama to drama because of 77,000 votes. In Wisconsin, he won 30,000 of those, the 30,000 votes to get those electoral college. And he won Wisconsin by 30,000 votes. There were 250,000 votes suppressed. In Michigan, he won Michigan by 10,000 votes. 100,000 black folk were registered to vote in Detroit that didn't even vote. Millions of voters in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia didn't even vote. In my own state, he won by 172,000 votes, and 2.5 million folk who could have voted didn't even vote. And the same is true here in Georgia. And all the southern states denied health care. All the southern states, in fact, the truth of the matter is, all the southern states have pushed voter suppression from North Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, and the people get elected through racialized voter suppression, and once they get elected, they use their power to pass laws that hurt mostly white people, poor white folk. And there's been this game that's been played ever since Nixon to pit poor black and poor white folk and Latinos, particularly out in the rural areas, against one another. And Trump is just playing it to the extreme. He's a symptom of a greater problem. He's not the problem, he's a symptom. And his enablers and the crowds that jeer him on, he's a symptom. And he's playing this division game. And he's hooking up with folk that are running for governor and senator, and they're playing the same game. Divide and conquer. And hope that the people don't wake up and realize we're in this mess because of 77,000 votes. Now, here's where you might holler. 100 million Americans that could have voted didn't vote. That's on top of the suppression. And we're there. 77,000 votes. But you know what? When I hear that, I hear power. I hear if folk wake up, if folk get a conscience, we can turn 77,000 around. Right? They tell me that right here in Randolph County, if you all could just increase the percentage of people that vote now, about 12%. I didn't say 100%. 12. I'm giving y'all an assignment now. Because there's more folk in here than Jesus had. He didn't have a 12. He lost one of them because he was a thief. And you got more in here than Jesus had. And Jesus organized Galilee. He organized Judea. Organized Samaria. He organized the whole earth. Yes. If y'all can leave out of here. You already know it was about 49%. And if you could just get that thing up to about 65%. Folk voting with conscience. You don't have to get to 100. Just get it up about 65%. And then call folk into other counties. And tell them if we can get our percentage up in an off year about 13, 14, 15%. Then your county can make the difference. You hear what I said? These rural counties can make the difference. Don't have mercy. But now that means you got to get out here like we used to organize folk, the crop backer. Y'all don't know nothing about that. You had to have somebody on the tractor and somebody at the barn. And somebody had to know how to loop and tie. And somebody had to know how to hang. And somebody had to be cooking the barbecue after we got our work, because you don't eat barbecue in the middle of the day. You mess around and have a stroke, y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. You got to do some organizing. Y'all know how you used to organize when you didn't have much? And you say, child, you got some sugar, I got some flour. Lord have mercy. You got some sugar, got some flour, I got some buttermilk. Lord have mercy. And when you organize, Lord have mercy, Jesus. You have something good. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all don't eat collard greens down here, do you? You know how to organize some collard greens? My grandma taught me how to organize. Say you can put some collard greens in there. First of all, you can put some meat in there. Cook that down. It don't look like mutton, just the meat. Then you put some collards in there and you cook them down. Then you put some ice taters in there. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Huh? Y'all don't know nothing about that. You put some ice taters in there. Look at them, my young white friend. He don't know what we're talking about. Ice taters. Lord have mercy. And then you put some sugar in there if you really want. That's a teeny bit. And you might cut a few onions and say peppers in there. And if you really want to get some cornmeal, put a little flake, a little thick Crisco and immerse it up in there and make you a dumpling. Lord have mercy. And sit four of them on top of the collard green and let the steam, all that steam going through the dumpling, you say that's the softest thing. Your neighbor said, we know how to organize. They are talking about this county. They are talking about these counties right around, and they are saying that if y'all get this vote up about 14-15%, oh God, that something might get to shaking around here in the South. And you ought to one, because voting is theological. You see, we don't give the right to pets and parakeets and puppies. Anybody that tries to suppress your vote, they're saying you aren't a people. or you on a person suppress your vote. So if you try to suppress my vote, you're suggesting, Reverend, that I haven't been made in the image of God here. Anybody tries to stop, that ought to make you vote more. That ought to be a testimony. I am God. I'm willing. And then another thing, the voting is the way you say no. When stuff is going wrong, vote. We're tired of this drama. No, we're tired of people trying to take our health care. No, we're tired of people putting our children's future at risk. No! Sometimes you got to say no. And then there's a fourth thing. Third thing, voting is a blood right. You hear what I'm saying? There's power in the blood. You hear what I'm saying? And every one of us ought to remember, because if you go back far enough in your family, you have somebody that either gave or risked blood. Lord have mercy. Just for you to have the right to vote. Just for you to have the right to sit where you want to sit and go where you want to go. And you are, and when you start messing with the blood of my ancestors, I have a problem with that. When they fought hard and then now after they're dead and gone, you want to act up? No, it's a blood. I told folk, I said, when people have been martyrs, a martyr is somebody who dies for a cause. When you know, people like to have celebrate, we're going to honor and have a celebration for Dr. King, or we're going to honor Rosa Parks. I want to suggest you don't celebrate martyrs. You imitate them. Just like Jesus. Jesus don't need a cheerleader. He needs discipleship. He needs soldiers. He needs folk that are going to pick up the cross and take it the next mile of the way. And when folk have died, you don't celebrate that they died. You go to the place where they died. You reach down in the blood. You pick up the baton and say, I've been baptized in the blood, and there's power in the blood. The blood ought to make us vote. The blood ought to make us stand up. The blood ought to make us rhyme but get together. The blood ought to make us organize. The blood ought to make us take our children, even if they can't vote. Take them with us and remind them, if it was not for the blood. Yeah. Yeah. The power in the blood. Wonder working power in the blood. Soldier in the army of the Lord, and I promised him I'd serve him till I die. Do I have a witness here? But not only that, I was talking to some Jewish rabbis, and I'm gonna just do a little seminary. And the rabbis told me that the word for voice in the Hebrew language is koil, K-O-L. And I said, well, what does that have to do with me? I'm going on a tour with Jennifer Butler about voting. They said, Reverend Barber, you didn't let us finish. Because in Hebrew, the same word for voice is the same word for vote. Koy. In other words, your voice is your vote. And your vote is your voice. Well, I took it from there. Went down in my Baptist coastal imagination. And I remember when Job said that when the Lord speaks, it sounds like thunder. We ought to ask God to speak through us next Tuesday. We ought to go in there with coil, our voice and our vote. And we ought to vote and make the sound of thunder. I'm telling you, it's time for some thunder to come out of Georgia. We ought to thunder against racism. We ought to thunder against those that want to take our health care. We ought to thunder for our children's education. We ought to thunder for living wages. We ought to thunder. We ought to thunder that the poor may be helped. We ought to thunder for love and thunder for justice and thunder for righteousness. Is there anybody ready to thunder? Yeah! Because I heard that when the Lord speaks, his voice sounds like thunder. He has hair like lamb's wool. He has skin like new burnt bread. He has eyes like coals of fire. And he has a voice like thunder. Somebody ought to say at this election, Lord, speak through me. Tuesday.
shouts, sound like thunder. Do I have a witness?
Hallelujah. They tell me that lightning never strikes alone and thunder never sounds one time. So your thunder got to go get some thunder. You better hear what I'm saying. You better go knock on these doors, get these cars going, get these church bands going, talk about it tomorrow in church, but let it be known that when there was a need in the 21st century for a sound of justice and thunder and righteousness to come from Randolph County, Martin King didn't get up out of the grave. Rosa Parks didn't get up out of the grave. Viola Lewusa didn't get up out of the grave. Malcolm X didn't get out of the grave. And they didn't have to, because we are their sons and daughters, and we know how to thunder.
Spend a lot of time on these gadgets. Am I not right? Amen. I need you to go ahead and pick up your phone. Go ahead and pick it up. And I need you to at least text 10 people that you know that haven't voted. You think they haven't voted. I need you to go ahead and do that. Amen. 10 people. Yeah, you talk to more than 10 people during the day. Yeah. But at least text 10 people. If you can text more than 10, that would be good. We only have a few more days. You heard what Bishop said, that the lack of voting. How many people forgot to vote last year? How many have you talked to your children about voting? I mean, that same old thing as usual. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. You need to go ahead and erase that out your vocabulary.
your vocabulary. Because what God has for you, it is for you. But if you sit down and do nothing, then you don't need to say nothing. So would you do that for me? I mean, before you go to bed tonight, will you at least call 10 people? I mean, that would be your task. You don't even have to watch TV. Don't go home, watch football. Call somebody and tell them how important their vote is. How hungry are you? We are a people that thirst after righteousness. And it's only right for us to do the right thing. I need you to touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, your vote count. There's a 1-800 number that you can call to let them know if they run into any problems that on the election. They go and they try to vote and they won't let them go through. There's a 1-800 number. I mean, well, the number is 1-866 or vote. I'll vote. Amen. I'm glad you got me. I'll vote. Amen. Did you not enjoy our speaker? Amen. This is the part of service I might ask the question for you to ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor this question. Say, hey, neighbor. Are you saved? Y'all didn't answer them back then. Maybe you looked at the wrong neighbor. Look at the other one. Say, hey, neighbor. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm not saved. I'm saved. If you're not. There's some preachers in the house, and I think they might have a little bit more food across the street if you're hungry. But we thank you for coming out and being a part of this program. It wouldn't be as a success as it is if it wasn't for you. We only have a few days to get out and vote. Tell everybody at church tomorrow. At the grocery store. I want to thank Mr. Hollis, Reverend Hollis, for being here. Amen. Thank God for you. Holly, I say Hollis. Amen. I pronounced it wrong. He know. We know each other. Amen. Y'all come on, stand to your feet. You're going to sing a song. You going to start your song off? I'm going to song. How does song start? Thank you. Not that one. Thank you. Not that one. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Send your